There's a new salvo today in the negotiations to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. Pyongyang is threatening to pull out of next month's summit with President Trump if the United States insists that the North unilaterally give up its nuclear weapons. In an angry statement, North Korea's vice foreign minister criticized National Security Advisor John Bolton, who recently said North Korea should follow a Libya model of verifiable denuclearization. Here's Bolton on Face the Nation.
But one thing that Libya did that led us to overcome our skepticism was that they allowed American and British observers into all their nuclear-related sites. So it wasn't a question of relying on international mechanisms. We saw them in ways we had never seen before.
President Trump said today that we'll have to see if the summit is still on. Let's bring in Balbina Wong. She's a visiting professor at Georgetown University and a former senior advisor at the State Department. She's with us on a Skype line from Seoul. And Balbina, what are you hearing today in Seoul about this sudden shift from North Korea?
Well, in fact, this is not quite a sudden shift. Remember, this is Foreign Minister Kim Kye-kwon, who is has been for quite a long time the lead negotiator that was involved in the discussions and negotiations of the denuclearization process for North Korea. And remember, too, that Kim Kye-kwon is the gentleman that is quite familiar with John Bolton, because John Bolton was in the W. Bush administration, and he was the one that was the undersecretary for nonproliferation. Now, North Korea is very familiar with this history of what happened with Libya. Muammar Gaddafi was so terrified of what had happened with Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and so had willingly given up his fledgling nuclear program, which, by the way, had not really gotten off the ground, and was willing to give it up in exchange for essentially amnesty. But of course, what happened afterwards is well known in history.
He ended up dead.
And so, that's exactly right.
And is that the fear now, that the North has, that Kim Jong-un could end up in the same place?
Well, yes, that's exactly right. But now what is happening today is that Kim Kye-kwon is the foreign minister. Now, President Trump would not be meeting Kim Kye-kwon. President Trump would be meeting Kim Jong-un. What is very interesting about this is that nobody in North Korea, other than Kim Jong-un, has ever been, you know, punished for ever sticking his neck out and sounding fierce and coming out and sounding very, very tough and very strong and threatening. The point being that Kim Jong-un does not punish anybody for sounding very, very hardline.
So is this then a negotiating tactic, or is there actually a real threat that the North is ready to walk away? Sounds like you're saying it might just be a negotiating tactic.
Well, this is precisely the point. We simply don't know, but I also don't think that we should be alarmed right now and assume that North Korea is absolutely walking away and that the summit has fallen apart and that now we are back to, on the precipice of, back to the possibility of, nuclear war. I simply don't think that's the case. And I think we have to still give it a chance, and that this could yet be the initial stages of the pre-negotiation process, because this is exactly the pattern that we have always typically seen with North Korea.
Do you think the North suddenly felt it had given up too much ahead of these talks? Because we had seen Kim Jong-un and South Korea's Moon Jae-in pledge to work for a nuclear-free peninsula publicly. The North had said it was willing to allow military exercises go forward between the South and the United States previously. The North had invited reporters out to watch the shutdown of a nuclear test site, the only one in the country. I mean, do you think that all of a sudden they realized maybe they needed to make this turn and come down a little harder?
No, not necessarily. And the reason I say that is because in that case, we would be making the assumption that North Korea had sort of recklessly or impulsively raced to make this sudden turn and had decided impulsively to go ahead and, you know, engage in this kind of very sudden change. And I don't think that that is the case. I think that, in fact, Kim Jong-un is not this crazy, impulsive leader. I think that he's actually very rational. I think that he has been very calculated, and that for the last 5 years that he has been in power, he has very steadily proceeded with his program. And I think that what we have seen recently was the result of a very, very steady and carefully plotted strategic decision that he has made. And so, no, I don't think this was an impulsive decision. Mm-hmm. And so, which is why I think that what is happening today is part of a longer term strategy. And so I don't think that we should be panicking. And I think we should let this play out and see what happens.
The mood from the White House over the last couple of weeks has been so optimistic. Do you think it's been too optimistic and that the U.S. has underestimated the strategy of the North?
Possibly, but it's quite hard to tell what exactly is going on inside this White House. President Trump is making all his own decisions. Secretary Pompeo, Bolton, they seem to be quite confident in their roles as his advisors. But in the end, I think President Trump is the decider. Hmm. I think President Trump is going to decide during the meeting, if it happens, with Chairman Kim. He will decide whatever he wants to decide to do.
And in a word, who has the upper hand going into that meeting if it happens now?
That is the most unusual circumstance. I think that these two very unusual leaders are evenly matched.
Balbina Wong, a visiting professor at Georgetown University and former senior advisor at the U.S. State Department. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.